props and welcome to the show for the whole, like, you know. My name is Mark, and I am speaking tonight with Susan King. How are you, Susan?
Oh, I'm in total bliss. We're talking about one of my top three episodes, so I am fantabulous.
This is actually, in my opinion, one of the worst episodes.
Oh, really?
No, I think this is an interesting episode. I kind of forgot about this episode, believe it or not. When I started watching it the other day, I was just kind of... I kind of couldn't remember... I remember... You know, I chose this one because everyone seems to like it. But I couldn't exactly remember at what moment and, you know, why. Why was this such a big deal? And when, you know, you watch it and it comes back to you, of course. When you get as old as I am, you need these little nudges to remind you. And it was weird because I watched it, as usual, with my son and my wife. And my wife goes, you know, is there ever a point where Almanzo, you know, not that is there ever a point, but at what point does Almanzo begin looking at Laura in a different manner? And I go, I think this is the episode.
It is.
and I was right.
Yeah. Yes, it is
so
indeed.
So sweet 16, oh. Which I think in New York would get you a sweet 16 behind bars.
Because pretty much
this is something called illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about down south. I mean, in other parts of the, I know we have listeners from all around the country and the world, but, and, you know, no offense to your local laws.
Right.
But in New York, it's 18 and 21. Those are the two shining numbers that you have a goal of.
Well, this amazing episode originally aired February 25th, 1980, and after we suffered with Laura through all of season 6, we finally arrive on episode 22, written by John Dungan. I thought that Michael Landon had written this, but no, he was in the director's chair on this one.
Yeah. You know, everyone takes kind of a back seat. I'm going to say in the order of all of the other characters outside of Laura and Almanzo, you know, I'm going to say Karen Graysell and Michael Landon are the only other people who are really in this episode very much. All the other things are so tiny and almost aggressively tiny, you know, especially towards the end. It's like, there's not even a wave at Mary. I mean, not that you would know, but...
Right.
But they don't even, like, you know.
Well, and I think maybe that was a treat for the fans, because those of us that were, you know, around a certain age when this originally aired, I mean, you know, for girls, well, and guys too, I guess, but I'm a girl, so I can't relate to that male side of it, but we've all, most of us, have pined for someone, and usually in the real world, it doesn't pay off. We just sit in a corner and watch them walk away with somebody else, and so we finally... Oh. After this whole season, finally get the payoff of Almanzo opening his eyes to Laura. And so that's why I love it. It's total fantasy for, you know, wallflower girl in high school that never got that back in return. So I get to watch the payoff here, and it's totally, totally rewarding.
And I'm sorry if I'm distracted, but our live feed crapped out. So I'm just going to put that back up as we're talking. So I'm going to play the first clip. No, let me look at your clip list. Yeah, you started
it's
earlier.
A long one.
You know, it's where I left out the teacher. I just didn't feel like she was very important at all. I know that, you know, she broke her leg and that's why she's going there. I don't know. I found her to be kind of distracting to the story.
Well, she was, but, you know, in that one clip where it kind of sets up the story where the school director guy comes to Eliza Jane and, hey, I need a teacher. And so that's what I was thinking of in that. But, yeah, you're right.
Do you want me to play? I can play the clip.
Sure, you can.
All right. You're being insistent upon it. Here we go.
Miss Wilder, I'll come right to the point. Teacher down in Curry, Miss Trimble, had an accident. It broke her leg.
The poor dear.
I'm going to need a temporary replacement for her till she mends, and I thought perhaps your best student of the required teaching age would fill the bill.
My only student, who's 16, is also my poorest student. My best student is only 12. I'm sorry.
So am I.
Just a minute. There's Laura Ingalls. She's my best student nearest the required age, and she'll be 16 in only 2 weeks.
Well, that's not good enough.
Well, I might bend the rules a little for this one assignment. After all, a teacher who is almost 16 is better than no teacher at all. And you think she'd be interested in the job?
And how are we going to teach
this? I'm sure she would. I happen to know she's most anxious to become a teacher.
A little too anxious, in my opinion.
Well, I was going to say, and if he didn't agree to it, how are we going to keep the storyline going?
Yeah,
exactly. He said, I'm not good enough. So this episode is very interesting to me because in many, many ways, they stick very, very closely to the real Laura Ingalls Wilder's book, from the names of the students to the things that the students recite.
Oh, really? I didn't know
those
that.
Are, and even Laura, when she takes her teaching test, the words that she says are the actual, the verbal test. But the verbal test that she takes, those are the actual words that Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote in her book. But in a lot of other ways, they don't. The family the real Laura Ingalls stayed with was horrible.
Yeah.
And was horrible to her. So, you know, there's a lot of really close, even like I said, the names of the students, the Brewster family and et cetera, et cetera. So they stay close in some ways and then just, you know, turn it into Hollywood in other ways.
Well, I'm kind of curious. Let's listen in as to how difficult it was to become a teacher.
Right.
It was basically memorize 10 facts and you're a teacher. And all of a sudden you get a nice crisp $20 bill a month.
There you go.
Here we go.
Jefferson was the third president.
Yeah, I know.
As well as writing the Declaration of Independence, he established religious freedom and private property in Virginia. He also founded the University of Virginia and bought for the new country the land between the Mississippi and California.
Congratulations. You are now a teacher.
I am.
And I'm going to fill out the certificate right now to prove it. Miss Ingalls.
Which is weird because it's like she was Miss Ingalls even before she walked in.
Right?
But actually, I let the clip go on for a little bit longer.
It pays $20 for the month, plus room and board, with $10 in advance for initial expenses. Sweet. You'll be staying in Curry with the disabled teacher, Miss Trimble. It'll be nice for the old lady, and she can be very helpful to you.
This guy's a real jerk, I think. For one, he's referring to this woman as disabled.
Right.
Right.
True.
She is disabled for the moment. She's a broken leg for a few weeks. I don't know how's that working. And
right.
He's also making himself very comfortable at the desk, and he's very, like, $20 and $10 for expenses, and,
right.
You know, the old lady will like it. It's like, what do you know about anything?
And if she doesn't, I'll make her like it.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's just a real...
I don't know, this whole episode is just so warm and fuzzy to me. Everything, the cinematography, the shooting the scenes through the fall leaves.
Yeah, the cinematography is very nice in this episode.
Gorgeous.
The reds are very red. You know, this is a very, very nicely aesthetically pleasing episode.
Yes, even the makeup they use in one of the scenes later on where Charles and Carolyn are outside and she's just out in this bright sunlight. It's like the makeup they use, because she got to a point where, you know, like in the beginning, she wasn't wearing a lot of makeup. She was just raw face. But in this episode, unfortunately, you can almost see the powder on her face, but it just looks so beautiful that I don't care.
Right.
Go ahead with it. I don't care. Beautiful.
All right. But here's Harriet showing us the, you know, the nicer side of Harriet with a little bit of lemon on top.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, Caroline, Caroline. Where has the time gone?
Oh, I don't know.
It seems like only yesterday this little child came walking into my store. She could barely reach the counter. Oh, it makes me feel so old.
Doesn't particularly make me feel old. Does make me feel proud, though.
Well, it makes me feel old. I'll never forgive Nellie for growing up. Of course, I'm not really that old. I was practically a baby myself when I had her.
It must have been a difficult delivery.
I don't get the joke.
Oh, snap. It's like Carolyn is just, here we go, character reversal again. Carolyn's just being so sarcastic.
Yeah, at me. Like...
But, well, because Harriet's, you know, trying to pretend like she's younger than what she really is. I was practically a baby when I had a woman, please.
No, you weren't.
Yes, it was. Of course, I still have my Willie. He's still Mama's baby boy. He's such an innocent little tyke. What's going on?
He was hiding in the closet watching me change.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. That's not true. Tell me that's not true.
It's not true.
Huh. He's lying.
Willie Olsen, are you lying to me?
No, not really. You're the one that told me to tell you it's not true.
Oh, my goodness, then it is true. Oh, how disgusting.
I didn't see anything.
Well, what did you expect to see?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything yet.
Get upstairs to your room right now.
Willie, what's all the commotion got?
Oh, it's all your fault.
Well, it usually is, but what is it?
You've turned him into a...
What?
A man.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm sorry. The most perverted thing about that is, come on, man. Jonathan Gilbert is Melissa Gilbert's brother.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people forget that. Or they conveniently forget that.
It's like Jonathan's peeking at his sister. Lord have mercy. It's right up there with the Sylvia episode. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's
Boys
exactly.
will be boys. Okay. Boys will be boys. Yeah. All right.
But, you know, I think Nels is, you know, just being Nels, you know.
Well,
that's usually my fault. I got a line in this episode.
this is what I was talking about when we were recording the back to school episode, when I was talking about how I would have thought Nellie's clothes would have been more grown up. The outfit that Laura wears in this episode, in my opinion, is purer to the year that it is, where she's got the, you know,
you mean
the skirt.
Her new dress?
Yes, her new dress. It's more pure to the year and the episode than, you know, Nellie's were just like these kind of flouncy things that they didn't have any scoring down at the bottom of the skirt. And mm-hmm. Laura's got the whole sweep thing and kind of a little bit of a bustle in a way. And so why, you know, Laura's 16, Nellie was probably 17 when she graduated. So this is the dress that I thought of when I saw, you know, Nellie when she was 17. It's like, would she have been wearing something, I don't know, more similar to like what, you know, Harriet wore, a more mature kind of a dress, but whatever. It's the episode's already been filmed years ago. We can't change it. Can't change it.
Yeah. So, Manly picks her up, says, you know,
yes,
what
he does,
you know what, he's no choice. Eliza Jane is forcing him to, you know, take her to wherever she's going, probably a good couple hour ride maybe. And he actually has a cool, like, buggy. His buggy's kind of sporty. I wish I knew what kind it was. But it's just a two-seater with like a trunk. It's pretty cool. So here they are having a little bit of a dialogue on the way.
This is a new hat, too.
Whoops. Real nice.
Hold on.
That one before.
It's not too dusty.
Sorry. So she's saying she's glad it's not so dusty. Hopefully I didn't miss that, because she has this brand new dress. And
right.
This hat that maybe came with the joke book.
Ridiculous right, yeah, looking. That hat is... is nasty, but, you know, I was talking earlier about the books, and it's true. I was just reading a letter that the real Laura Ingalls Wilder had written to her sister Mary, and in that letter, she's talking about them gentling Barnum. I realize that was in the earlier episode of Wilder versus Wilder, but Barnum was the real name of Almanzo's horse.
Oh, that's and, funny. Wait, you sure it's not Barnaby?
No, it's Barnum.
Oh, okay. I'm going to listen closely because I wrote down Barnaby when he says, I'm going to need to take him for, you know, a workout.
Well, it's Barnum, but you can listen.
All right. Well, you also say Almanzo, so let's be real here.
I sure am glad the road's not too dusty. I wouldn't want to ruin my new dress.
Well, I didn't think I'd seen that one before. Looks real nice.
Thank you. This is a new hat, too.
Real nice.
Thank you. My pa says he doesn't like my new hairstyle. He says it makes me look too mature.
Well, I think it looks real nice.
Thank you. Do you think it makes me look too mature?
No, I don't think it makes you look mature at all.
Thank you.
Yeah, she went one question too far.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, shut it down.
Right. She went one question too far. Poor Laura.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? You could have felt great about this, but you had to, you know. Yeah. And what else?
Yeah, like us women do. She's very true to character of a female. I'm sorry. How many times have I done that in relationships? Just went, oh man, I should have stopped. But that's okay.
Let's hear. They get there. Get to the nice house. Again, everybody seems to have nice houses, except for the Ingalls.
Ingalls and the plastered walls.
Yes.
Thank you, Manly.
Oh, you're welcome, Beth.
You know, you really didn't have to go to all this trouble.
No, no trouble at all. Matter of fact, I've been really looking for a chance like this.
You have?
Sure. Gives me a chance to give Barnum here a good workout.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we'll see you Friday.
See ya.
I think he even farted when he walked past her. Like, he just does not like her at this point.
We could have a drinking contest with "see ya." Have you ever noticed how many times that "see ya" is a big deal in this series? Man, they say it all the time. See ya.
Yeah, I've never noticed. I'll try to pay attention to it.
All the time. I mean, you could get snockered throwing back shots every time they say "see ya."
Or sarsaparilla.
There you go.
So, all right, we have, what's next? I mean, I have a bunch of clips. You have a bunch of clips here.
I know. Well, she meets Miss Trimble, and Miss Trimble's smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
And that is bizarre. I know, but.
I mean, we can basically tell, you know, the story of Miss Trimble. She's kind of, she's a spinster.
Yeah.
She never married, clearly, because she's still a teacher. But she's probably well respected, and she really probably loves her job. So Laura's walking to the school. And we're going to hear the reaction of the kids.
Hey, look it! That must be the new teacher.
Good morning.
She's just a kid.
Now another thing, when she walks into this place, it has these, maybe 8x8 beams in the middle.
Right.
And they're all like crazy crooked. Yeah. Do you notice that? I mean, I know that they're holding the roof up, but jeez.
I like the chick's collar and blizzard, man. They're up where staples are glued or something.
You know, I have to wonder if this was filmed, like, did they build a place like this? Or it's so rickety looking.
Yeah. But I don't know. I've got on my romantic hat with this episode. I don't think there's a thing wrong with this episode. I love every second of it. But
we're only 12 minutes in.
I know. The reality of it is, yeah.
I'm not saying that it's, not true to its own to what it would have been. It's just, I'm really surprised. Like, I found it distracting. I kept thinking, like, is the roof going to fall? Like, you know, it's just, you wonder, really? The structure in this building is just, looks very poor.
Well, okay.
All right, so.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. And also, I think that they're a poorer community. I don't think that they do as well as Walnut Grove.
No, and I agree.
So, here we go. There's an intro that Laura is going to give to the class. She probably has a good 15 kids in this class.
Right.
All pretty somewhat well-behaved. Class. There's no willies, as far as I can tell.
No, doesn't appear to be.
I am Miss Ingalls. I will be your teacher until Miss Trimble recovers. She has given me a list of your names, assignments, and progress. I will get to know you as I call on you, and when I do, please raise your hand.
May I ask a question?
Of course.
How old are you?
Why do you want to know?
Because you seem awfully young and small to be a teacher.
I'm old enough to teach, and I have a teaching certificate from the superintendent of schools.
That I got yesterday.
Besides,
right.
Being bigger doesn't necessarily mean you're smarter.
Doesn't mean you're dumber either.
I agree. The size of the body has nothing to do with the size of the brain.
Really? It doesn't? Because if you ask a baby to, you know, count right. or do anything, they're kind of stupid.
Well, the reason why I like this clip is because it's Laura's first interaction with Chad Brewster and or Melissa Gilbert's first interaction with Tim Mayer. And I can't remember where I read it. It may have been in Laura's cookbook. It might have been in her biography. I can't remember where it was. But she had the hots for Tim Mayer.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
And there's one scene where you can see it. The scene where they have where they're talking about him being a doctor. And she looks at him. And it cracks me. I've seen this episode at least 100, literally 100 times. And the look in her, I mean, she's looking him daggers right in his eyes and going, I was just wondering if you had any other thoughts. And right, you can tell she just warmed for his form. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be hot for Almanzo. Wait just a minute. Maybe it's just one of those things that only a woman could notice about another woman. But yeah, she's what they had a little spit exchange, according to Melissa.
What I like is this is the rare form that we get to see Melissa Gilbert in. She's still a child for the most part. Yeah. And you could kind of see what she really develops into with her mannerisms and but she's still a total kid. And it's just, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that, especially since get to see her grow up on the show.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful little snapshot of not quite a woman, not really a kid anymore. And even though she professed that all through season 6, because she wanted so desperately to be grown so that Almanzo would notice her. But yeah, you're right. I hadn't really thought about that. But this really is just, and it's on film for posterity for everybody to see forever.
Well, it's why she became the president of the SAG,
Screen Actors Guild. Yes.
But it's going very well for her. The students seem to have taken a liking to her. They're listening. She's having a great time. And now she's visited by the superintendent. That's kind of like just checking in.
She is.
Mr. William.
Ms. Ingalls. Just happened to be passing through town and I thought I'd drop in for a few minutes to see how things are going.
Yeah. Is there anything special you'd like to hear?
I always like mental arithmetic. How about posing a problem to a student in your highest grade? Divide 2 digits into 6.
All right. Who would like to try?
I would, Miss Ingalls.
All right, Chad. Divide 347,264 by 16.
What?
347,264.
It's funny because he doesn't even use like a tablet.
Divided by 16.
Right.
16 into 34 goes twice, carry 2. 16 into 27 goes once, carry 11. 16 into 112, 7 times. 16 doesn't go into 6, down not. 16 into 64 goes four times. The answer is 21,704.
That's right.
Very good, son.
Nerd. No.
I love how he says, bring down not. I didn't do any research on that. It's like, when did it go from not to zero? I love that, bring down not. What?
Yeah, I know. That's actually, I didn't catch that, but I did catch ciphering.
Right.
Ciphering. I think I recall it being called ciphering for a brief period when I was a kid.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Only other time I remember ciphering is in the infamous Whisper Country episode when Mary goes and teaches at the school with the wacko Miss Peel.
Yeah, like, and she's my favorite.
She calls it ciphering.
It's the devil.
That's right. You just, nobody needs nothing but ciphering and the Lord's word or whatever she says. Yeah,
Mary did a big fail.
Right.
Laura's so much better than Mary, and she.
But
could
she
see.
Got her in the end, though. She got Miss Peel in the end. I love that episode too.
Yeah, she's like, you can't even read the Bible.
That's right. Read us some of those words you live by. Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. You know, maybe that'll be the next episode.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
I don't know. Mary's kind of annoying to me. I'm taking a disliking to Mary lately.
Well, she and I think for me that's coupled with all of the negative comments. Like whenever the real actors and actresses get together, and even in Melissa's book and Allison's book, and everybody talks about how nobody got along with Missy and how she was kind of standoffish or whatever. But when you think about everything, every time I watch the "I'll Be Waving as You Drive Away" two-parter, I'm just astounded at how convincingly she plays blind. And when you think how everything that her character went through, the miscarriage and then the baby burning up in the fire and going blind and everything. I mean, Melissa Sue Anderson had to have some chops to pull that off. And she completely pulled it off. Completely. Mm-hmm. So she was very talented actress. But personally, everybody just really didn't warm up to her. And apparently she didn't warm up to them either. She kind of kept her distance.
Yeah. So I'm gonna play Laura going back to Walnut Grove briefly. I think for the weekend, right?
Yes.
She's gonna get picked up by Almanzo, and all of a sudden a few sparks get ignited.
Yes.
Chad, you know, you really surprised me today.
Well, I was always good at ciphering. It comes easy.
Well, it's not that you did it that surprised me. It's that you volunteered. You also made me look very good in front of Mr. Williams.
Well, you are good, Miss Ingalls. I wouldn't do anything to get you in trouble with your boss.
Thank you, Chad. But if I'm such a good teacher, how come I can't get you to study?
Oh, it's not you. Well, it's just that I want to be a farmer. I don't need all this.
Is that what you want to be?
There's nothing wrong with farming.
I know. My pa's a farmer. I was just wondering if you had any other thoughts.
Well, my grandpa was the town doctor. I like that. For me, it's just a pipe dream.
You've got the brains and the opportunity for schooling. Use them. You can become anything you want.
You really think so?
I really do. I'll try to borrow some of Dr. Baker's medical books for you to start on, if you'd like.
Oh, I would. Thank you.
What a... She's known this kid for 5 days.
Right. The scene right after that, that is the scene that I have lit. I know you're going to say I'm sick, and everybody else listening is going to go, woman, you need to go to a psychiatrist. But the scene right after that where Almanzo's buggy is driving up to the school, that mm-hmm. is the most gorgeous shot.
Oh, yeah,
I
yeah. No,
ever.
I agree with you.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about ever, but I mean, it's a well-done shot.
That prairie sky and that white schoolhouse and the, it's not wheat, but the whatever it is on the ground that's blowing in the breeze. Yeah. I mean, oh, my God. It's just the most gorgeous. And it's so funny how I mix it up in my head, because that scene you just played, I want to take a crowbar and I want to stick it in Tim Mayer's mouth and pry his lips apart. It's like he's got his teeth gritted and he's like, I don't know, town doctor, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he doesn't open his mouth when he speaks, and I don't know why, but it just drives me crazy. I've seen it 100 times, and every time I'm like, I'll bet you're a math. But of course, he never does. Never does.
So Almanzo's there in his streamlined red buggy, picking her up.
Oh.
Because he has to.
Yeah, and the love bug bites Almanzo. We'll Ooh, see. I just love it.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Manly. You're right on time. Thanks, Chad.
See you Monday. How'd the first week go?
Very well, thank you.
Here, let me help you with that.
We also forgot, Laura bought heels to make her taller.
Yes.
And she walked a very long distance, and she said she was going to wear them even if it killed her.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it used to, again, because I'm old enough to remember this episode when it originally aired in its entirety, and before they beautifully restored all of these episodes, whenever they would show it on TV, they would cut out the scene where she's walking through the prairie on those heels and suffering, and they would also cut out the scene where she comes around the fence for the very first day of teaching, and she has that box in her hand, and Miss Trimble says, "What's in the box?" And she says, "Oh, I bought a pair of shoes. I thought they'd make me look older." They cut those two scenes out. So, at the end of this scene, when Almanzo gets the little vibe and finally notices her, at the end of the scene, she's just kind of hysterically smiling down at her shoes. And if you've never seen the original episode, you're like,
yeah, like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, why is she sitting there grinning at her shoes? Because they totally cut out the whole shoe part. So thank goodness on the beautifully restored, now you get the full. You get the rest of the story.
But here we go.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong. It's just
absolutely.
Now there is too something wrong. What is it?
You look different. You look older.
Well, I am a week older.
Yeah.
If we want to get home before dark, we best get started.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And off they go. She looks down at her shoes with, like, yes. How many eyelets?
Right.
65 eyelets on each. And it's like...
Yeah, exactly. I have one of those. I have my grandmother's. It is an ivory-handled shoe hook with her initials carved in it. That I have my grandparents' bedroom furniture, including my grandmother's vanity. Wow. And I've got this whole ivory set of a little powder puff thing and a tray and a shoe buffer and one of those hooks. And yeah, it's just so, it just sits there. I don't do a thing with it, but I love having it. Yeah, and I just love it. It's just cool.
Yeah, there's always a nice attachment to material things, you know, like that.
Absolutely.
That have been in the family.
Absolutely. I love that scene because there's just something, it is the chemical thing that nobody can explain. This man has been bitten. It ain't ever going to go away. And every woman watching knows it. And there's just, especially when he drops her off at the house and he's kind of stumbling back to the carriage. It's like, child, forget it. You ain't, that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
There's nothing. And there's just something so irresistible about that in the human DNA that, child, ain't nothing you can do about it. You're gaga about her. And just the fact that he is smitten and all the women know it. And it's like, ah, it's just, it's great. I love it.
So Laura gets back into Plum Creek, and Almanzo drops her off. She's kind of unaware that this transformation has happened with Almanzo. I mean, she has a few hints, but for the most part, I think she's unaware of how much of a drastic change things are about to come. And it's good that she is prepared for it. So Ma speaks with her, and they have a very kind of boring thing, I think, anyway.
Oh, I love it.
I know, it's sweet and everything. It's not really clip-worthy.
I just love the advice she gives. Hey, you know what? Just because he's looking many-eyed doesn't mean you have to. So now we come into the woman's wiles again. You can't be all gaga about him. Just you know, men like to pursue. So right. Just kind of sit back a little bit and let him pursue.
And
excellent advice.
So, Carolyn comes down and she sees Charles hanging out in the new kitchen. They have this little
chat.
Top. Yeah. with the funny red curtains. Do you notice those?
Oh, yeah. Right.
So much red in this particular episode.
Yeah, it's like, what was the movie where every time there was something red, you were going to see a dead person?
I don't know. Is that a thing?
Yes. M. Night Shyamalan. I can never remember that movie. I See Dead People. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Every time there was red in that movie, like the red doorknob and whatever, you knew that there was somebody dead going to pop up in the movie. So. Not the same thing with this. It was probably leftover material from Laura's red dress that she started wearing.
Right. This is like a leftover.
Exactly. Ma had some leftover material.
Just make it a snack. Want a sandwich?
No, thanks.
I'm making 6 sandwiches as a snack.
Right.
What's he making?
Now, how does he keep that perfectly tan physique with 6 sandwiches? Come on now.
Yeah. She would talk all night.
Well, she needed a chance to unwind. She's all wound up about everything.
What are we talking about?
Oh, teaching and things.
Thanks. You mean Almanzo, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Charles now?
I know. I like the man. He's a perfectly nice man, but I don't like the man driving my daughter back and forth to work. I mean, by the time they got home tonight, it was almost dark.
Charles, it was not.
Well, it could have been. He could have lost a wheel. They could have been caught in a storm.
They could have been attacked by a herd of elephants.
No, she's been ridiculous.
Well, I think you'd be thankful. With Jonathan away, you've got twice your normal amount of work to do. It's your busiest season. You need a day of rest. After all, you're not getting any younger.
I mean, Carolyn just comes up with these zingers.
You know what's great about that? Is if you were to tell me that was not scripted, right? And that Karen Grassel just said that.
Right.
I would believe that would be a genuine Michael Landon look of like, what the hell did you just say? Like, how about
mean?
I break your jaw?
I dye my hair with Clairol. What was it? It was Clairol Ash Brown. That's what he used to do. He dyed his own hair. He would not let it be professionally done. It used to drive the makeup people crazy because ash never usually doesn't film well. It's got like a greenish tint to it. So, right. But anyway.
So we have, what do we have? We have... this is kind of a fun little scene where Almanzo's approaching Charles.
Yes, I love this.
I like it, but it's all right.
I love his reaction at the end after they drive off. I love that.
Also, I'm not really sure what Caroline's doing. She's got a bucket of something with a brush in it. I'll watch the scene and see what she's doing.
Good afternoon.
Oh, I see. She's staining the chair, maybe?
Yeah, or scrubbing the walls of the barn.
You think she has a paper towel, which was not exactly something you would find. You know,
right.
Like a Bounty paper towel. She just
and a quicker picker upper.
Yeah, exactly. She's like
Almanzo and the paper towels.
she's like, yeah, it looks like a paper towel, actually.
Laura's packing. She'll be out in a minute.
Charles is sharpening an axe.
I'm a little bit early.
Right. Oh.
Would you like a cool drink while you wait?
Well, no, ma'am. Mr. Ingalls.
Yeah?
You know there's a church social next Friday night at Nellie's.
No, we're planning on going.
Me too. I was wondering if it'd be all right if Laura accompanied me.
After all, Charles, it's a church social.
Here comes Laura. You'll have to ask her.
Hi, Manly. Ready to go?
Your pa said I should ask you if you want to come with me to the church social this Friday night.
He did?
I mean, I asked his permission to ask you.
You did?
How about it?
She's just glowing.
I have to think about it, Manly.
Woman's wiles.
It's a good smooth move right there.
Oh, right. Woman's wiles.
Can I let you know Friday?
Come on, the dance is Friday.
He's not a Jacoma because a Jacoma would go, no, you can't. if you can't tell me now, forget it.
That's what kills me. It's like the dance is, what, Saturday? It's like, can I let you know the day before? Like, nobody else wants
exactly.
you. It's like, wow.
Yeah, can I let you know in 5 days?
Right. I love it.
Like, let's go sit in the buggy for 2 hours and not talk about it.
Right.
Jeez.
You best be going.
Bye, Ma. I love you.
Bye.
Bye, darling.
Bye, Pa. Thanks again, Almanzo.
Well, at least my daughter's showing a little good common sense, huh?
Your daughter. I suppose if she'd said, yes, Almanzo, I'd love to go to the church social, she'd have been my daughter.
Right.
Huh. Right, exactly.
I think this is where you're saying her makeup.
Yes. Yes, as you notice her, I don't know if you're actually watching it, as I guess you are, as you've got the thing, but yeah, her makeup there is just... She just looks beautiful. I mean, she always looks beautiful, but she just didn't wear a lot of makeup in the first couple of seasons, and they just decided to doll her up a little bit, and she just looks beautiful.
Yeah, they put a little, you know, corn flour on her face. And...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You can see the powder, but, I mean, she's just got such a radiant smile. She just, you know, it was the one great thing. Well, there was a million great things about Carolyn's character, but she just so convincingly, because her and Michael Landon didn't always get along. I think there were some contract negotiations and things and times when they just did not get along, but she just so convincingly played a woman that was just totally...
Oh, yeah, enamored with her husband.
Enamored with her husband.
Except for the one episode when they're putting that new kitchen in.
Yeah, she was the handyman.
With Gil Gerard, with Buck Rogers.
You love my mother, don't you?
Again, Mary being a little mouthy.
Right, Mary being a little bit mouthy, but there are very tender scenes, like the one when she's pregnant with Grace and she's all paranoid about wanting a son for Charles, and she goes up to the mountain and she's kneeling at the baby's grave and she's talking to God and she says, loving Charles the way I do. And I used to feel that way about my ex-husband. And so I just totally, used to is the operative word there. Right. And so I just totally, that's who she is. She just adores this man. And she just played that so convincingly that she just, that was her man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we have Almanzo in a very dimly lit Wilder farmhouse. And
aw, poor Almanzo.
And his forever single sister is making tea. She loves making tea for people. She's clearly seeing there's something wrong with Almanzo.
Well, sit down and have your tea while it's still hot.
He starts scooping teaspoon after teaspoon
sugar.
Of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Since when do you put 6 teaspoons of sugar in your tea?
And also, what kind of, person uses that same sugar spoon to stir the tea?
Right.
Like, were you born on a farm? Oh, wait. They were born on a farm. Right, there's my answer.
There you go.
Get a haircut.
I wasn't even thinking.
Right.
Dutch boy haircut.
Mm-hmm. Come on, what is it?
It's Laura Ingalls.
What has she done?
Nothing. It's what I've done.
Killed her.
What have you done?
I asked her to go with me to the church social.
Oh. What's wrong with that?
Well, she said she was going to think about it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Every woman knows.
I'm trying to be nice. So I asked her to go with me. And she says, I'll think about it. I mean, she's just a kid. Don't you think she's just a kid?
No. No.
Do I?
Aww.
But she's 15, you psycho. I don't know. It's kind of illegal. So, how old was Melissa Gilbert in this, in the filming of this episode? I'm going to just say.
I think she was 16. I think maybe she had just turned 16, if I'm not mistaken. And when, like I said before, when I believe Dean Butler said that when he started Little House, which would have been at the beginning of this season, I think he was 24. So he could have been 25. So they were almost 10 years. He could, you know, I don't know when his birthday
was. Nine, 10 years apart.
Yeah. Yeah, so very similar. And that particular scene, the most beautiful part of that scene for me, and I know I'm going real deep cuckoo on this episode, but
yeah,
I just adore it.
I'm kidding.
I know. But you wouldn't want me to co-host with you if I wouldn't cuckoo about Little House. But
right, I mean, there's very few.
The most beautiful part of that scene is at the end, after Almanzo goes up to bed, the just brilliant Lucy Lee Flippin, the expression on her face, she does the most amazing acting with her face. She looks very sad, kind of melancholy, because it's almost like in the expression in her face, she already knows what's coming. She and her brother are going to be separated. Almanzo's in love. He's going to marry Laura. It's like, I nobody feels that way about me the way he feels about her, and I'm happy for him, but I'm sad. I mean, I know I sound crazy, but it's just, she just does this thing with her face.
No, I agree. Well, the first time I saw this, I saw that look, and I said out loud, actually, I said, she has to make up a husband. She has to make up a fake scenario now.
Yes.
No, okay, I didn't say that.
Well,
but
no,
she
but
will.
I mean, she does eventually. Yeah, she does, and that. I wrote Lucy Lee Flippin a fan letter. I got tired of sitting around, and I sent one to Catherine McGregor too about two years ago.
Oh, because she, you know, I'm working on getting her on. She, where she lives is, she's really bad internet.
Yes.
So
yes,
she's very. She doesn't really do interviews very often. She's agreed to come on. It's just a matter of getting it to happen.
Well, I wrote her this over the, I mean, it wasn't over the top to me. It was very genuine and very tender, because my favorite performance of hers is in the two-parter Laura Ingalls Wilder. Laura and Almanzo getting married for me in that episode is a complete aside. It's like, yeah, they get married. But that storyline between her and Harv Miller and what her character does is I told her in the letter, I said, that end scene, that freeze frame with your voiceover, I have seen it 80 times, 100 times, and I just weep. Her acting is just so amazing in that episode. I've just always really, because, I mean, think about it. She's a wonderful actress. She's not the stereotypical 6-foot, big boobs, blonde, whatever. She's a character actress.
Right.
And so, You know, I mean, I would think for any person that didn't look stereotypically beautiful, and there's plenty of actors out there that are not, but how difficult, especially for a woman, where women are so judged by what they look like and whatever, to be confident enough in your talent to just go for it. I mean, she was in all kinds of movies. I think she was in Looking for Mr. Goodbar. I mean, bit part, you know, she was in a Woody Allen movie. And so she didn't just do Little House. And
I'm surprised that she didn't do more things, because she's a very identifiable person.
Absolutely.
She has a very school marmy look.
She does.
But that's a desirable look, especially for certain characters. Like you mentioned, a Woody Allen would absolutely go for to cast her for a period piece before he chooses somebody who's just your beauty of the week.
Absolutely. And as silly as it is, I guess I was 54 when I wrote her that letter, but I got tired of watching that episode, and it wasn't even really like a silly hysterical fan. It was just like, I want you to know that as an actor, I really appreciate you. I mean, I wrote it in a very mature minded, not a giggly, ooh, I hope I get an 8x10 glossy. She did send me a beautiful card back.
Oh, nice.
And with,
does she have good penmanship?
She does have beautiful penmanship. And yeah, she's to stop it.
You would expect her to, that's all.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. She sent me this beautiful card back, and she was just like overwhelmed by, and as an amateur writer, I was appreciative of her being an artist and appreciating my writing, that she just said, oh my gosh, that was just an accolade that I will never forget, because I just let it all out of what a glorious actor I think she is. She's just wonderful.
And she is, absolutely. Like Charlotte Stewart, for instance, you know, she sent me one of her Beetle bags to thank me, you know, to say thank you for having me on the show. And I was like, you're thanking me, you know? And, but her penmanship is just like impeccable. Like, just like that.
So, wow.
And to the point where I even kept the bag that she sent it in, like, because it's like, you know, she wrote my name and my address, you know?
Right. No, I know. I completely understand. I kept the envelope. I wasn't going to chunk that envelope from, you know. Yeah, I never did hear back from Catherine McGregor, and I wish I had written her sooner, because she used to draw cartoon characterizations of Harriet, of the character.
Really?
Yes, whenever she would write to fans, she had a little character, a cartoon character of Harriet Olson that she had created, with kind of a nose that wasn't closed, and would have her mouth open real wide and saying really silly stuff in the cartoon.
Does she just not respond to anything anymore?
You know, I don't know. As old as she, I mean, you know, she's 90. I think she just had a 93rd birthday, and so probably not. So I wish I would have written that letter. That would be so fun to have a cartoon rendering by
her. She's born in 25, so that would make her 93?
Yeah, I think she just had a birthday. I think I saw it on Facebook or something where they were saying happy birthday to the wonderful Catherine Scotty McGregor.
Yeah, the hippie she is.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's, and yeah, I don't mean that as a dig either. I'm just saying she's very much into Indian culture.
Oh yeah, I was rereading parts of Charlotte's book that I had forgotten, where she said that Charlotte and Catherine McGregor were at a health club with Gloria Swanson. I mean, what a weirder mix is that?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, I was just like, because I had just got done watching Sunset Boulevard, and I was like, what? They were hanging out with, I don't think they were hanging out with her. I just think Gloria Swanson happened to be there and was dictating to them about what they should eat or whatever, that Charlotte and Catherine had escaped to a spa for the weekend or something. So it was, yeah. That's no stranger bedfellow than that. Yeah, interesting.
So, to just bring it back to this episode.
I know.
I'm just pulling it back in, that's all. Almanzo approaches Charles and says, hey, Charles, how about I kiss your butt a little bit? I'll drop off this load of lumber.
Right.
And Charles is very grateful of this. And the reason being is how Almanzo, on the way back, is going to stop by Laura's place and say hi, in the hopes that, you know, he can just put this decision about whether she's going or not to bed, so he, you know, can, if she's not going to go with him, he could just, you know, find somebody who is more than willing to put out. And I forget what her name is, but the one who wrote the song that, what, I forgot her
name. My one true love. Yeah. What was her name? I can't remember off the top of my head now.
But, you know.
But Laura beat the snot out of her.
She, yeah, there's a big dust up in that. But here, this is what happens when Almanzo and Three's Company collide.
Right.
Oh, wait. Let's back up just a little bit here.
Yeah, Almanzo took lessons from Charles.
Or Mr. Furley.
From earlier in the season, right?
I think it's more like, you know, a misunderstanding that goes a little too crazy.
Should have sent him to Sleepy Eye. It's the opposite direction.
Whoops. Mm-hmm. Sleepy Eye.
You wake up inside the human skeleton. It's really something. Look how the ribcage protects the heart and the other mind organs.
Just goes to show that guy knew what he was doing.
Sure does. Look, I'll show you. See, it's strong, flexible. Real strong.
Hi, Manly.
Uh-oh. Bam!
You keep your hands off her.
What is wrong with you?
Was that any way for a teacher to conduct herself with a student? Hugging?
You are acting like a child, Almanzo Wilder. Hitting that boy, interfering with my job, and you've got a dirty mind, too.
Of course she does. She's 16.
Are you all right, Chad?
I think so, Miss Ingalls.
Come on, buddy.
Suck it up.
He's studying medicine. Mr. Wilder.
Mr. Wilder.
He was just demonstrating how flexible the ribcage is.
It's a good pickup line. But here's the thing. It's not her job to tutor this kid one-on-one alone in the schoolhouse.
Well, I told you she was worn for his form, so yeah, she was trying to get along with Tim Mayer.
That's Melissa, not Laura. And I just feel like it was borderline inappropriate, actually.
Yeah.
I think Almanzo did the absolute right thing.
That's right. Punch his lights out.
And like in most episodes where things that are sad happen, we have a scene where Charles comes to the rescue with his fortune cookie, I don't know, wisdom.
Yeah.
It's sure easy to see those young ones like you.
I feel like they're my children.
A little bit young to be having children.
Just a matter of speaking, Pa. Almanzo didn't want to come for me, huh?
I think he figured because it's your birthday, he'd probably prefer to have me drive you back. He told me what happened. I wouldn't hold it against him.
Do you think he was right?
Of course not. Neither does he. Remember I told you once that fella made me jealous over your Ma?
Yeah. She was making sheep's eyes at another boy, so you would ask her to a dance.
Right. Know what it means when a person gets jealous?
Well, sure I do. I was jealous that time that Almanzo was going with that snippy Christy.
Why do you suppose you were?
Well, I know why. Because I love Almanzo and...
What?
Oh, Pa. Do you think that Almanzo could be in love with me?
I don't know for sure.
Wouldn't count on it.
But what do you think?
I think it's a darn good chance.
Oh,
Pa.
I also think a girl shouldn't get married till she's 18.
Yeah. Sure you do.
In case you're wondering, Almanzo will be at Nellie's place for the church social.
Right.
Is he bringing someone?
Right so.
Who?
His sister.
Pa, hurry.
It's not like she can get a
four. You're not going to be 18 for 2 years yet. But I'll hurry anyway. Come on.
By the way, when they do this, they don't move any quicker.
Yeah. Charles just couldn't make up his mind because it's like, as I said in another episode, John Jr. proposed to Mary when she was 15 and a half. She got married to Linwood Boomer or whatever, Adam, when she was 16. So it's like, you don't believe the game. I still believe a girl. Well, you might believe it, but, you know, you kind of backtrack on that real quick, which is why it's kind of goofy in the episodes upcoming that he is just so determined that, you know, she's not going to get married until, you know, you have to wait 2 years and all that, because he vacillated on that totally. And that particular scene, even now when I watch it, I always thought that Laura paused when she said, because I love Almanzo, because she's just so open about it. And it was always, I mean, Pa knew that she was crushing on him, but for her to say that and just be so out there with it, that was kind of, you know what I mean? Laura kept that kind of, she had never said that in front of Pa before, when she's just so matter of fact about it. Well, because I love Almanzo. And when she stops, of course, it's because the realization that she thinks, you know, wondering if Almanzo's in love with her. But I didn't remember her ever being so open with her Pa about how she really, really felt.
Right.
About Almanzo. Monzo.
Monzo.
Yeah, but, I know.
So I wish I could pull a clip out, but it's so low. Like, and they're like, rah, 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 rah. So what we experience is a very, very nice moment between Laura and Almanzo, and they have their first kiss. Somebody's going to walk in, right?
Right.
But they don't.
Like Melissa Gilbert's mother, they, you know, we've heard all the famous stories about how Melissa Gilbert's mother was behind the camera just hysterically weeping because that was her girl's, you know, first kiss. Just this man with hair on his chest pawing my 16-year-old daughter. Exactly. But apparently her mother didn't handle that well at all.
That's funny.
In real life. I mean, but see, again, that scene to me speaks about what a strong actor Melissa Gilbert was. She's already talked about how she was just crazy, nervous. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that scene, as she just kissed him, mom's hysterical in the background, but she still pulls it together and says, how'd you like to have a dance with a teacher? I mean, it's just like,
yeah, no, it's a great line. Yeah, it's very good, but it's not clippable, unfortunately, because it's just recorded so low.
Yeah.
He
gives her the scarf and,
They walk out in front of everyone at this weird church social that seems to be going into the evening. And everybody's dancing this kind of made-up circular dance.
Yes, Albert with Miss Wilder.
Jeez.
And she's just so thrilled when Albert is like, he's 12 and he asked you to dance. And she's just like, oh, you certainly may.
Yes.
I'm like, wow.
So they come back out to the public and they're basically dancing. And this will be the beginning of their relationship. So here's what the parents have to say about that.
I have a terrible feeling I'm about to lose a daughter.
I hope so. Well, I'm dying to call you Grandpa.
Same to you, Grandma.
By the way, in this scene, you wouldn't know it, but Mary and the husband, I always forget his name.
Adam.
Is, they're in the background basically bumping into people.
When they first come into the dance hall, it's like they go in through that front door and they just walk past the camera and they're just gone. It's like this is not like, about Mary.
You know, like, seriously, it's like, I'm getting paid for this episode, right?
Well, but, you know, I mean, she had, if you think about it, and I know we all laugh about Mary disappearing in the series, but really, when you think about all those episodes with her being blind and then finally getting married to Adam, and, I mean, she was the center of a lot of episodes, the fire in the blind school, losing the baby. I mean, you know, they're
my
really
baby.
That scene is just, yeah, one of these days we'll have to do that one, too. That's just the most horrific thing.
They're using your baby to break a window right now.
Well, see, and everybody thinks that, but you know that the actress that played Alice Garvey cleared that up. She said it was her elbow. It does look like she's trying to push the baby through the glass, but it was really her elbow. And she talked about how that was her favorite scene because she was surrounded by California firefighters. While
I'm not buying that one.
Hersha Parody, she was originally considered for the role of Carolyn Ingalls.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, I like the actress a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was originally considered for Carolyn, and then, no, they decided to make her. First, she was Charles' sister in the episode where his mother dies, and then she became Alice Garvey. the hussy that was married.
Well, even Matthew Labyrinth was Charles in an episode, mm-hmm. right? An early episode. Mm-hmm. But I think that's it. That's the beginning of this relationship that will be remembered for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Or not. Just... No. No, this is a sweet episode. This is definitely not one of my favorite episodes. This I would not recommend this episode to somebody who has never seen the show. As like a first episode.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
You need to have some backstory in order to enjoy this episode.
Absolutely.
And it was definitely a great bridge over to what is to become a much bigger show.
Yes, absolutely. With eventually with Melissa Gilbert as the star and mm-hmm. Charles and Carolyn and everybody, and you know, all
with
the
ashy hair.
Main, yes, everybody else. Leaving the show, and so yeah,
starting with the Garveys right now, they're already gone.
I know that was funny when he said when Carolyn said with Jonathan being away, I thought, yeah, filming Father Murphy or whatever Oof. Was going
Father Murphy,
right? Whatever was going on at whatever, the because yeah. characters did come and leave, you know, Victor French left to do Carter Country and then he came back, and so they did come and go. A little bit as they were working on other projects. And then, of course, after Lucy Lee Flippin left after the Laura Ingalls Wilder episodes, then eventually she came back for that one episode after it had turned into...
Where they blow up the entire town?
No, she came back when Laura went for the summer to go hear Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Yeah.
And, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she got to come back once too. But we never saw Harv again.
That's the Me Too episode.
Yeah, I'd love it.
I don't mean to make a joke, but it is. It is.
I love that. I love that episode.
But, all right. So I think that's it. Thank you very much for getting together tonight, Susan. I'm going to play us out with a little bit of the outro music.
All right.
It's free.